And please, to the Word of God, the book of Revelation and chapter 20. The book of Revelation, please, and chapter 20. And we're going to take a little glimpse into eternity and read from verse 11 and right into chapter 21. This is a vision which John saw on the Isle of Patmos, John chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20 rather, and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we do trust that God will continue to give help as we consider these solemn verses from this closing book of our Bible. We've been looking at two visions, we've been reading of two visions of the Apostle John. In verse 11 of chapter 20 he says, And I saw a great white throne. In chapter 21 he says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. These are two very distinct and different visions. In the one case, it's the final home of the ungodly. In the other, it's the final home of those who know Christ as their Saviour. Or, if you please, in the one case, it's the final home of the rich man. In the other, it's the final abode of the Philippian jailer. In the one case, we have a scene of utter hopelessness. In the other, a scene of intense bliss. In the one, a scene of great glory. In the other, a picture of desperate gloom. In the one, a scene that ends in the lake of fire, in the other, in a new heaven and a new earth of eternal blessedness. And like our former speaker, I'd like to ask you the question, where will you spend eternity? There are only two possibilities, no more. No other possibilities exist. It's either going to be in the lake of fire or in the new heaven and the new earth. The reality of life and death and eternity has already been brought before us. And I want to remind you that life is not the end. Life ends in death, and death is not the end either. Death is but the vehicle through which we enter eternity. And eternity is either in heaven or in the lake of fire. It's either in the place of blessedness or in the place of utter hopelessness, the place of light or the blackness of darkness forever. I want to remind you that annihilation is not only foreign to our Bible, but it's foreign to nature. There's no such thing as annihilation. And for every man and woman and boy and girl in our world, there is going to be a vast eternity. The wise man tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes that man goes to his long home. And I would like to ask you this evening, my dear friend, which long home are you going to? Is it going to be the long home of the lake of fire? Or is it going to be the long home of an eternal heaven? You decide now what your destiny is going to be for eternity. We've already been hearing about two men who made a decision. You likewise must make a decision. And before you leave the meeting this evening, you're going to make a decision. And your decision is either to remain on the road on which you're currently travelling. And if you're unsaved, as we've been hearing, that leads to an eternal lake of fire. Or you can make a decision to trust Christ for salvation and be assured of the new heaven and the new earth. I want to look at some of these solemn details with you. And we're going to ask ourselves at the end of the meeting, which eternity am I going to? What of the former? Well, says John, I saw a great white throne. And here is the last great assize, the last great judgment of the ungodly, the last recorded act of time. After this, we're entering eternity. And here is the last great judgment of those who have refused Christ. I want you to observe some of the details with me. Let's look together at the court. We're told of its location, where it was. It was in space. Because, says John, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. there was found no place for them. And here is a throne set up in space, the like of which man has never seen before. Of course, we are not unfamiliar with things in space today. Oh, they're above our country, there are satellites, and they're in space, so it's not untenable that God could set up a court in space. But observe, there's now nothing for man to depend upon. Earth and heaven have fled away, and the court is in space. But what of its characteristics? Where we're told it's a great white throne. And why great? Because of the person who sits upon it. The person who sits upon it is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. None other than the Son of God Himself. None other than the Son of Man. And all judgment has been committed unto Him, because He is the Son of Man. But it's not only great because of the person sitting upon it. It's great too because of the issues that come from it. It is going to be an issue of eternal death. Nothing else is going to be possible. The most solemn scene is depicted for us in this particular vision. It's going to end for everyone who appears before it in the lake of fire. It's great because of its finality. There's no other opportunity. There's no second chance. My dear friend, we cannot offer you another opportunity this evening. This might be the very last time that you listen to the message of God's salvation. This might be the very last time when you hear God's word read in your presence. It doesn't matter your background, your health, your wealth, your age, your circumstances. This might be your very last night on earth. There were many who opened their eyes this morning in good health, who will be in eternity this evening. This might be your last opportunity. Maybe never again will God speak to you. It's great because of its finality. It's great because of the numbers involved. Every unsaved dead is going to stand before this throne. What a tremendous court it is. But it's not only great, but it's white. And that's interesting. It indicates its purity, its righteousness. No possibility of any miscarriage of justice at this court. Everything is going to be according to truth and according to righteousness. And God will assess perfectly the life of every individual and make His judgment on that basis. But it's not only great and white, but it is a throne. It's not now a throne of grace. We read of a throne of grace in our Bibles. But it's now a throne of government. It's not a throne in heaven. It's not a throne on earth. But it's a throne in space. And a throne of divine government. What a call. But what a judge. Our Lord Jesus is going to be the judge. He's going to sit upon it. Says John, I saw him that sat upon it. My friend, I want to tell you that you cannot escape Christ. You must meet him. You can meet him this evening as your Savior. If you refuse, you will meet him as your judge. Christ is inescapable. You must meet him. And if you refuse to meet him now, you will meet him in eternity. You can meet him this evening as one who has outstretched hands in invitation and blessing. Come unto me, he's saying, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But if you refuse to come, if you refuse his rest, if you refuse the invitation, then you're going to meet him in eternity as your judge. You're going to be at the great white throne. But not only are we told of the court and of the judge, we're told of the accused. We're told who they are in verse number 12. Says John, I saw the dead, small and great. No unsaved dead are excluded. Doesn't matter the circumstances of their life on earth, small or great, rich or poor, high or low, no one escapes the throne of judgment. I saw the dead, small and great, the unbelieving of all ages of time, from the creation of Adam until the setting up of the throne of judgment. All the unbelieving dead, every one of them, are going to stand before this throne. This, again, is an assertion that death is not annihilation. The dead were judged, and therefore the dead are capable of hearing and of knowing and of appreciating and of experiencing judgment. For a solemn scene. Who they were. Notice where they came from. Says verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. There are only two possibilities for people to be buried: at sea or on land. And whether people have died at sea or on land, every one of them are going to be given up by death. Death has had its hold until now, but it's going to be subservient to the word of the judge who's on the throne. And when he gives the command, those who have died, whether on land or in the sea, are going to be brought before him. They are going to give up the dead which were in them. Observe, it says that death and hell. That is the abode of the body and the abode of the soul. Physical death is the separation of the spirit and the soul from the body. Eternal death is the separation of the whole person, spirit, soul, and body, from God for all eternity. But here, there's going to be the resurrection of the dead, and the spirit, soul, and body of the dead are going to be united, and the resurrected, unsaved dead are going to stand before the great white throne. They are going to stand before the judge. They cannot escape him. But then if there's going to be witnesses, if there's going to be judgment, there must be witnesses. God is not going to be arbitrary in his judgment. He's going to judge on the basis of fact, of witness, being brought before those who are accused. And so we're told about the witnesses in verse number 12. We're told what they were. The books were opened. What are these books? They are the record of the lives of individual men and women. Perhaps the Bible will be among those books, but the books will contain the record of the life of every individual. And maybe some time ago, we would have been a little surprised at that possibility. But now, as you know, we live in the age of information technology and the information explosion, and we are not surprised at the vast amount of information that can be contained in very little space. I was at a conference before coming out here, and I was surprised to learn, and listen to this, the whole of the Encyclopedia Britannica can be printed on the head of a pin. Okay? The whole of the Encyclopedia Britannica can be printed on the head of a pin. We're in the age of the information explosion and of what is called nanotechnology. And tell me, if man can do a thing like that, what do you think God can do? He can keep a record, a detailed record of every life, every movement, every word, every thought, every action. Nothing is excluded from him. And the books were open, and every unsaved dead will have the opportunity of looking at these books and seeing the detailed record of their lives and concurring with the truth of the record. Isn't that a solemn thought? Nothing is hid from God. My dear unsaved friend this evening, every detail of your life is known to him. Your name, your age, your background, your experience, every sin you've committed in word and thought and deed. What a solemn thing. The books were opened. But there was another book opened, which is the book of life. And why was the book of life opened? They would be able to scan that book and see that their name was absent. Perhaps they would see the name of their friend or their family. How solemn to scan the book of life and to see the names of those who have sat beside you at the gospel meeting, and their names are there. To see the name of your mother, your father, and your name absent, for a solemn possibility. God will not judge in an arbitrary fashion. The evidence, the witness, will be available. But how were these books used? Well, the dead were judged out of what was written. Even the secrets are to be judged. Every idle word has to be accounted for. And they were judged according to their works. Twice over we read at the close of verse 12 and the close of verse 13 that they were judged every man according to their works. God's judgment is going to have degrees. There are going to be degrees in punishment. This world would be a vast lunatic asylum if everyone was judged in the same way. Fancy a Hitler with the blood of 6 million Jews on his hand being judged the same way as someone who lived a relatively upright life. That would not be possible. The judge of all the earth will do right. And men and women will be judged according to their works. But then, as every court, there's going to be a sentence. The witness is going to prove that the unsaved are guilty. And listen to this. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. The last enemy is destroyed. The devil is already there, according to verse 10 of our chapter. The beast and the false prophet are there as well. And everlasting fire and everlasting judgment that was prepared for the devil and his angels is going to be the spear into which the unsaved and ungodly find themselves at the end. My dear friend, you have to make a choice. Are you going to go to such a place? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I want to ask you this evening, is your name in the book of life? Have you done what the Philippian jailer did and trusted in the Lord Jesus? Believed on Him for salvation? What must I do to be saved? We've been reading. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Is there an alternative to this awful sin? Well, we're glad there is. that is an eternal lake of fire for the unbeliever. But for those who will trust Christ, what a difference. Ah, says John, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, new in quality, new in capacity, new in all its fullness, new in its beauty, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And what were the features of this new earth and new heaven? Let me tell you. There was no more sea, no more turbulence, no more unsettled activity. There were no more tears. God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more death. No graves on the hillside of glory. No funeral trains in the sky. No sorrow. No crying. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. What a different scene now. Ah, not now are we having the torment of Luke 16. Not now are we having the awful lake of fire of the last vision. But here is a scene of eternal blessedness. And here is the crux of the blessedness in verse 3 of our chapter. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And here is the great blessing of eternity. God with men. Separation from God is hell itself. But here is the blessing of an eternal heaven. God with men. That was the reason why God created man at the beginning. His purpose was to enjoy his company, to experience his presence, to be the object of his worship. And man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And here is the great possibility of doing that. God with man. But listen, my dear friend, to the solemn possibility of verse number 8. The fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Will you observe, please, what heads the list? The fearful. Will you observe, please, who's second on the list? The unbelieving. You say to me, I would never be a murderer, nor a whoremonger, nor an idolater, nor a sorcerer. I want to ask you this evening, are you fearful? Have you counted the cost? Or you say to me, I've counted the cost of being saved. I know what it means. It will mean separation from my friends. It will mean I'll have to tell those at school. It'll mean that I'll be different from those around. You've counted the cost of being saved. I want to ask you another question. Have you counted the cost of being lost? Are you fearful this evening? Fearful of what your friends will say? Fearful of what your family will say? Fearful of what your workmates may say? The fearful are going to be in the lake of fire. The fearful and the unbelieving. Isn't that solemn that they head the list? My dear friend, which category are you in this evening? The unbelieving or the believing? Those who have been saved, those who are lost, those who have trusted Christ, those who have refused Him? Or to ask another question, where will you spend eternity? Will it be in the awful caverns of the blackness of darkness forever? In a lake which burneth with fire? Or will it be in the blessings and glory and joy and rest of an eternal heaven? You must decide, and your decision now determines your eternal destiny.